This is Issues and Ideas here on KCBX, public radio for the Central Coast. I'm Randall White. New All Things Considered host Kelly McEvers is the first ever to be based here on the West Coast. Starting last month, she began broadcasting live each weekday afternoon and evening from NPR West down in Culver City. McEvers has spent the past 2 years as a national desk correspondent for NPR, and in that role, she covered a range of topics including inequality in the U.S. economy, immigration, and the border. McEvers was also part of NPR's team covering the Ebola crisis in West Africa. Before returning to the U.S. in 2013, she spent years reporting abroad, where she ran NPR's Beirut Bureau and earned multiple awards for her 2012 coverage of the Syrian conflict. McEvers will be joining the KCBX staff next month for our 40th anniversary party, and you're invited. You can meet her in person when she does. We'll give you details on how you can join us here at KCBX when that happens. We'll have that at the end of the interview. All Things Considered host Kelly McEvers joins us now to talk about her new role and her career up until this point. Welcome to Issues and Ideas, Kelly.
Thanks for having me.
Well, let's start off with the changes to All Things Considered. As a West Coast-based NPR affiliate, you know, we're very happy to have locally based host finally. What sort of impacts do you feel your presence here in California will have on the show's content and feel?
I mean, we just want to bring the show out of Washington a little bit, right? You know, NPR, our mission is to cover all of America. And I think it's important to know that every day the lead story might not necessarily be one from Capitol Hill, right? So we're going to think about not just California, which is a hugely important story in America, but, you know, a lot of stuff west of the Mississippi and how we can cover it in ways that maybe we haven't before or pay more attention to perspectives of people from different places.
So you've been doing this for about a month now. Can you take us through a typical morning meeting and how the stories of the day are decided with your input?
Yeah, I mean, so the morning meeting happens at 9:30 Eastern, 6:30 Pacific. You know, it's fine, I guess. No, it's fine. And so we've got like a Skype uplink so we can all see each other. And we're sitting in the same room and everybody's kicking around ideas. We're like, all right, here are the stories that our reporters are bringing that we already know are sort of newsworthy because the news managers have already met and talked about what's important. And then we all start bringing our pitches, right? And so in that morning meeting, you've got people pitching stuff they saw in the Washington Post, people pitching stuff they saw in the New York Times. And then you've got us saying, hey, what about the LA Times? What about the Chronicle? What about this thing we saw out of Oregon, this thing out of Washington, Nevada? You know what I mean? So I do think, I mean, we've been charged with sort of bringing this other perspective. And so we're really trying to do that. So, you know, send your ideas.
Aside from the drought or water issues, what are some of the West Coast-based stories that you feel need telling at this point?
There's so many stories to tell here. I mean, California alone, just sort of the way we deal with infrastructure and life in cities and the innovation economy, immigration. You know, I mean, there's ways that California does things that I think can have a lot to teach the rest of the country without sounding too California-centric here. You know, I mean, so it's that those kinds of stories. I think the things that are happening here that actually have a national impact. You know, things happen in California first, and then they kind of happen later in other places. And I think those are the kinds of stories we want to, those are the kind of stories we want to, you know, illustrate.
So I want our listeners to get an idea of where you're coming from. You've really put yourself in some very dangerous situations, including war zones and an Ebola outbreak, in order to bring the latest information to NPR listeners. Why do you feel it's to the level of putting your life at risk in order to report the story?
I don't know if I ever put it that way. It's like, oh, yeah, hey, I'm going to go do this story because it's really, really important to shine a light on these things, right? It's something like the Ebola outbreak, something that happened very far away, but it's something that, as we all know now in our interconnected world, could affect us directly. You know, we saw that man leave West Africa and end up in Texas, and we saw how, you know, that hospital, that community, that city, that state responded. And covering all of that, all of those steps that are along the way are hugely important to our listeners, right? They need to know how our officials are or aren't prepared for something like this. And we need to know how, you know, the United Nations, the WHO, you know, some of these big world organizations did or did not respond to the Ebola outbreak in West Africa. You know, it's like now we can sort of look back and say, you know, these guys dropped the ball. These guys were on the ball. Those are important things to know for the next time it happens, if it happens right here at home. You know, I think NPR decided early on that that was an important story for us to cover. We have to shine a light on that stuff. Sometimes we have to take risks to shine a light on that stuff. Should I be taking risks my whole, you know, for decades? No. Should I do maybe, you know, a couple years where that's the kind of stuff I'm doing? Yeah, fine. And then I should probably pass it on to somebody else.
Is there a place right now in the world that you believe is too dangerous to send a reporter?
Yeah, sure. Syria. The parts of Syria that are controlled by ISIS, obviously. Reporters can still go into the parts of Syria that are controlled by the government. The government issues visas to these reporters and by and large is responsible for them. But the parts of Syria that are controlled by ISIS, we know very well that we have no business going in there. I mean, these are ruthless killers who have made journalists a target. That's really straightforward. Parts of Iraq, similar. You wouldn't go to Mosul. You wouldn't go to Ramadi. You wouldn't go to Fallujah right now. I'd pretty much go anywhere else. I mean, just saying. No, I mean, there's you know, probably a couple other conflict zones that are not a good idea. But look, this work isn't for everybody, right? And again, you don't want to tempt fate too often. But there's some stories that you have to just say, look, this is important. We got to do it.
Yeah, and I guess the irony there is that it's probably more important than ever to get the stories out of those places that you named.
Yes, it's so ironic. Like, you know, one of my favorite colleagues in the Middle East, Liz Sly from the Washington Post, she always says you can't get a visa to the Islamic State. You know, it's true, and it's frustrating. You know, those of us who really want to understand the region, you know, in some ways would want to go in there and interview people and try to explain and figure these guys out. But of course, we can't do that because it's just too risky.
So you were born and raised in the Midwest and yep. have lived all around the world, as we mentioned. Have you had a chance to drive up the coast to visit the KCBX stretch of California, Santa Barbara to Salinas?
Not yet. Yes, I've spent some time in Santa Barbara. Yes. I mean, you can't be in this part of the world without going there.
Well, we are certainly looking forward to hosting you here at KCBX next month, and we'll give our listeners details on how they can meet you in person, too. We'll have that information in just a moment. But first, I am curious about your thoughts on the current status of news. Information, as you know, is available everywhere now and
yeah.
coming from so many different sources, right?
Yep.
And on such a wide variety of platforms, where do you see our radio industry headed?
It's a really interesting question, right? Like, will my daughter, who's 6 years old right now, will she own a radio when she's my age? I don't know the answer to that question. I'm not sure any of us know, like, exactly when people will stop having radios. They probably will stop having them at some point. So what does that mean we have to do? I mean, these are questions we're asking ourselves a lot at NPR, especially, I mean, you know, I get my news off of, you know, my phone. I like read headlines off of Twitter and I listen to podcasts when I'm riding my bike. So what can we add, right? I think that's the question we're asking ourselves every day. And I think what we can add is what we've always added, right, is the depth to those headlines that are flashing by you on the ticker tape or on Twitter or whatever. We can still add the depth and humanity that we always have added on NPR, right? Is where we go somewhere, we plop down, we turn on our microphones and we listen to people and we listen to what they have to say. And then we put that on the radio and it gives context to the stories that are flying by.
Have you noticed a change over your years as a journalist regarding the types of stories that are being told, not just the platforms in which they're told, but what we tend to focus on?
Well, I mean, obviously podcasts. I mean, that's this whole new world of like intimate storytelling that you choose to listen to. I am making a choice to go and listen to that 99% invisible story or that Planet Money story, you know, that I know is like going to take something from the headlines and kind of go deep and explain it a little bit better and with human beings. And that's changed everything, right? So, but I think it's changing us in a good, I hope it's changing us in a good way. I'm actually working on a podcast right now because I like thinking about how should podcasts and the popularity of podcasts change what we do on the regular radio? Like, I think we can be personal and I think we can tell stories and narratives and I think we can put humans on the radio in the way that podcasts do. I think there's no reason not to.
All Things Considered host Kelly McEvers, thank you so much for joining us today here on KCBX, and we really look forward to meeting you next month.
You're welcome. I can't wait.
Okay, now for the details on our 40th anniversary celebration. It is November the 15th from 4 to 8 p.m. That's a Sunday, and it's right here at our studios at 4100 Vachel Lane in San Luis Obispo. Tickets are $40. And you can sign up for those online at kcbx.org, or you can order them over the phone, 805 area code 549-8855. We'll have great wine, beer, food from Luna Red, a raffle, and music by the Tipsy Gypsies. In addition to Kelly McEvers, you get to meet all of your favorite hosts from KCBX here, and poke your head into the news department while you're there and say hello to me, Randall White, as well. Again, Sunday, November 15th, that's 4 to 8, here at the KCBX studios in San Luis Obispo. Give us a ring, 805-549-8855, or order them online at kcbx.org. You've been listening to Issues and Ideas here on KCBX, Public Radio for the Central Coast. I'm Randall White.